Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, it is not an uncommon economic indicator that more people are applying for and using food stamps these days, but I think this recent post to our Uncommon Economic Indicators webpage definitely fits the bill. It actually comes from an off-air WNYC employee, Cheryl Rogers, and it is from something that she saw where she lives in Teaneck, New Jersey. The location was Teaneck Road and East Tryon Avenue. And it calls this the middle of middle-class suburbia, she writes. The little Asian deli where I get my coffee across from the commuter bus stop. A handwritten sign went up on the cash register today. We are temporarily waiting for our license from the state to accept food stamps. And so what is new about that? Well, that it's in a middle of the middle-class suburban local grocery store. In New York City, Gotham Gazette recently reported on food stamps and said that as of February, more than 800,000 New York City households were enrolled in the program. That's 1 in 10. I guess it's more than 1 in 10 New Yorkers, 800,000 households. So are you a recent food stamp enrollee or thinking about applying? Maybe you're a deli owner in Teaneck who is applying to accept food stamps for the first time because your customers are coming in with them for the first time. I am joined now by Michael Paoni, a community organizer in Harlem with the New York City Coalition Against Hunger and a former food stamp recipient himself, and by Joel Berg, the executive director of the New York City Coalition Against Hunger, and they will do their best to answer your food stamp question. So our lines are open at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or you can post a question to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Whether you're new on food stamps and are trying to figure out how to navigate that world, whether you've been on food stamps at other times in your life or maybe for a long time and including the present and still have a question or want to give some tips to the newbies, call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Joel Berg, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Michael Paoni, thanks for coming in.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Have you seen, Joel, indications that more people, maybe ex-bankers, are applying for food stamps these days?
Well, I don't think it's ex-bankers, but there's certainly more people applying for food stamps. There are now 72,000 more people on the food stamps program as of February this year than there were in October of last year. So sometimes we're given the impression it's the bankers, but it's more likely to be their former receptionist, their former driver, the person working in the cafeteria there who was just barely getting by without food stamps benefits and who needs them now, even though New York State no longer has a so-called resource cap or asset cap. In other words, it no longer has a cap on how much money you can have in the bank. It still does have very strict restrictions on income. So if you are a top executive, chances are the money you have in the bank, the interest income alone, would make you ineligible for food stamps today.
So to be clear, it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It only matters how much money you are making presently, Michael Paoni?
Yeah, and I wish that were true when I was on food stamps in 2007. I believe the income cap at the time was $2,000, and my experience being on them, making about $11,000 a year or $800 a month, I actually had to make sure that I didn't make over $2,000 and put that in the bank. I mean, this is a policy that rewarded spending on other things and not allowing people to save their money.
So, but it sounds like you're almost saying you kept your income down purposely so that you could keep getting this form of assistance.
Yeah, it's actually it's not a good policy in that regard. It's anti-work. It's anti-getting beyond the benefits.
So Governor Spitzer a few years ago actually kept the income limits, as he should have, and federal law requires, but eliminated the savings limit. And we thought that was a great thing, as Michael said, so he could save money and other people could save for a down payment on a first home or to pay for college, et cetera. So it was an important policy advance. I know Governor Spitzer had some issues, but that was one great thing he did.
How do you apply, Michael?
Well, there's a couple ways you can do this. I would recommend going through either a pre-screener, and the pre-screening process is whereby you are talking to an eligibility expert, either from a local nonprofit. We do that at the Coalition Against Hunger as well. The Food Bank for New York City does this. And they'll sit you down, they'll ask you some questions, and they'll produce and, you know, sometimes plug that into a computer, produce an information sheet that tells you whether or not you're eligible. And if you are, when you go to the food stamps office, you're then empowered to know exactly what you're eligible for. We also run a partnership called the FCAP Project with a paperless office system of the Human Resources Administration, whereby we're able to allow individuals to apply entirely at a nonprofit organization, so they don't have to step foot into the government office. And those are the two kind of specialized ways I would recommend to apply. You can also just call 311 and go straight to the office. I had a little bit of help since I was working in the business at the time.
Let's take a phone call. Ty in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ty.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. So, your experience?
I applied for food stamps. It's the first time I did. We all did it together, and we've had a bit of frustration with the actual food stamp offices. And I'm wondering if there's like anything else that people can do apart from having to deal with the offices themselves, because they seem to be really counterintuitive and really difficult to wield. We were trying to figure out if it's because it would just make it, you know, more difficult for people to get them. So the only sorts of people who would want to get food stamps are the ones who are willing to put up with like an 8-hour wait, for instance.
Michael?
Yeah, I think that's entirely true. I mean, my experience being a 23-year-old single college-educated person who was just trained, I think about 2 months prior, on the eligibility requirements and how to apply for food stamps, my application was messed up. My application was not accepted because I didn't have a clear documentation of my rent status from my landlord, and I faxed it in and it got lost. These things are not uncommon. So, you know, a lot of the work that we do is to make this process easier. We think it's a shame that this is the reality, but things like our paperless office system, where you can go to a community-based organization and sit with people who care and who are working on your behalf and advocating for you, that's one way to buffer that process.
Ty, did you get fingerprinted when you got approved for food stamps?
Fingerprint everybody right at the end.
And is that an anti-fraud measure, Joel Berg?
It is supposedly an anti-fraud measure, but 46 states in the union don't do it. And those 46 states have lower error rates than New York State. The state, a few years ago, removed it for the rest of the state. So big cities like Erie County, Buffalo, no longer do it. But here, because of Mayor Bloomberg's insistence, they still do it. The city told us a few years ago they caught potentially a few dozen people out of a caseload of 1.1 or 1.2 million at the time. I pointed out, even if all those people were fraudulent and crooked, and I don't think that's the case, but if they were, that would still be a lower fraud rate than the United States Senate, the United States House of Representatives, and clearly the New York State Legislature. So this really is a double standard, treating poor people like criminals just to get the benefits their tax dollars have already paid for.
Come on, you can't measure people against the standard of the New York State Legislature. That's just unfair.
Well, that is a low blow. Now, I want to say there are plenty of incredible, wonderfully honest and hardworking people in the state legislature, including people like State Senator Liz Krueger, who's a real champion of anti-hunger work. That being said, it is a little ironic that certain conservative policymakers insist that somehow poor people on food stamps are somehow uniquely crooked, when in fact the fact shows they're far less crooked than much of Wall Street and many of our elected officials, and yet it's not too hard for them to get their aid.
Very diplomatic. Joel Berg and Michael Paoni are my guests from the New York City Coalition Against Hunger. With everything you always wanted to know about food stamps, but were too embarrassed to ask, you can call us now. Use any name you want. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or you can post. And, of course, nobody knows if you're a dog on the Internet at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And somebody who claims to be named Kate has just posted this. I am wondering, do stores have to accept food stamps? Joel, do you know?
I do know they do not. In fact, it's entirely voluntary. Now, the vast majority of stores that sell a wide variety of foods are eligible to accept food stamps, and the vast majority do. We're pleased that Big Sam's Clubs and BJ's have started accepting food stamps, but the Costco chain is one noted exception. And it seems really crazy, beyond the morality of turning away low-income customers. You know, food stamps pay out more than $1 billion a year in New York City in federal benefits, so it just seems crazy that Costco would turn away that money. But the vast majority of stores do voluntarily accept food stamps, and more farmers markets are voluntarily accepting food stamps.
And it also goes to the original post on your uncommon economic indicators, the sign in this Asian deli, as it was described, at East Tyrone Avenue and Teaneck Road in Teaneck, where the sign went up that said, "We are temporarily waiting for our license from the state to accept food stamps." So is it hard, Michael, are you familiar enough with this area? Is it hard for a little local store to set up to start accepting food stamps?
I'm not exactly sure about the application process, but I would add that this has to be thought about in the context of community development. If you're in a low-income community and you have a whole subset of a population who can't afford to buy food, what is your alternative? I mean, you can rely on emergency food. There's 1,200 soup kitchens and food pantries all throughout New York City. But when people are going to this, they're not contributing to the economy. They're getting a commodity assistance rather than a cash assistance, which allows them to partake in the food market. So this is a stimulus. I think for a going figure is that for every $5 spent from the federal government in food stamps, $9.20 is generated. So this is actually a stimulus measure, and it behooves communities to think about ways that they can be sharing this economic activity.
Britt.
Right, it's actually quite easy for a store to apply. The New York City Coalition Against Hunger to accept food stamps at our community-supported agriculture projects. We just sent in a very easy paper application, and within a few weeks, the federal government told us we were approved. So it's one of the easier federal applications to accept food stamps. That's very different than how hard it is to get them.
Britt in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I guess my question was, I have a part-time job where I'm making about $300 a week. So, I mean, I guess, A, does that qualify? But then also, I get part-time work as a designer, you know, but it's infrequent. So I don't know when the jobs are going to come in. I may not have one for a month or more. So, what do you do for that? Can you put that somewhere on the form?
Michael, first of all, the $300 a week. Is she already over the food stamp income limit?
It depends on your household as well. If you're living with other people, I mean, there's a lot of factors that go in. Just a general number for.
If you're living with roommates who you're not related to.
I have roommates, but we don't share income.
They don't make you pull your roommate's income for these applications, do you?
Like many things in government, it depends. It depends on whether you buy the food jointly and cook the food jointly.
If you
buy the food jointly and cook the food jointly, the federal government actually marries you. So one of my sort of offhanded jokes. As I say, one of my favorite jokes is the federal government actually turns gay people into a married couple if they're seeking the food stamps program. So you would be right at the edge. For a single person living alone, the gross income limit is about $1,100 a month. So, $300 a week would put you at about $1,200, which would be slightly above that.
And then what about the larger issue of freelance income?
That's really irrelevant. I mean, what you have to do is average your income over a number of months, so it doesn't matter where you get your income from, full-time work, part-time work, through interest income. It's really income over the course of the year, so it would really depend on what it averages out to be.
Ray in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, just a simple question. If you're on unemployment, are you just automatically eligible for food stamps?
Michael? If you're on unemployment, are you automatically eligible for food stamps?
I'm going to let Joel take this one.
No. Well, first of all, you're not allowed to get food stamps if you quit your job under current law. But let's say you were laid off for forces no lower than yours. The that employment compensation would actually count as income. So the question is, between that income and any other income you have, including interest income, does that put you over? If it does, you're not eligible. Almost certainly, unfortunately, if you're still unemployed by the time it runs out, you almost definitely would be eligible when it runs out.
In fact, here is Darnell in Harlem, who I think ran into a situation along these lines. Darnell?
Yes, how you doing?
Hi.
Yes, I just became unemployed today, right before Christmas. I was laid off. And I just remember I think we received the extra $25 a week for unemployment or something like that. Because I got that slight difference in my unemployment, now I'm unqualified for food stamps.
Get
so
out.
I received something in the mail saying that I make too much money. So my wife, she only works on the weekends. It's just even harder for her to find a job. And I just don't understand. Like, hardworking people, I'm also a previous graduate, and it's just tough. I don't know what to do.
Joel, is this the first time you've heard of this situation, a slight uptick in the unemployment benefit putting him over the income cap for food stamps?
Unfortunately, it is not. Our eligibility levels for food stamps are far too low. I've proposed raising them to a much far higher rate to really include lots of people who you and I would consider poor that the federal government doesn't consider poor enough for this. And it is this ridiculous issue. We have what we call in the social service world cliffs. It's not like there's a gradual ramp down that as your income increases slightly, you lose some of your benefits slightly. You get above a number and you're actually pushed off a cliff and lose your benefits entirely. And that is a horrible disincentive to work, and we need to change that.
That sounds crazy. So what do you recommend to Darnell right now?
Unfortunately, for food stamps, he's out of luck, unless his income dips again, and I hope it doesn't. If he has
even more broke.
Do you have any children, sir?
I just found out that my wife is expecting, but with food stamps, you literally have to have the child in this world in order to really, you know, benefit from it.
Well, I will say the Women's Infants and Children Program, the WIC program, has higher eligibility guidelines than food stamps. So almost definitely she and your child would be eligible for the WIC program even as she's pregnant. And then as she gives birth, that having that extra child would probably push you over the limit and make you eligible for food stamps. So I definitely urge you to contact the local health department office and apply for WIC benefits.
So let's see. Somehow we stumbled on to the backdoor gay marriage question in this segment, and now the question of when life begins. I didn't think we were going to get into that in our food stamps discussion. We're running out of time. Here's an important question from our comments page. Are there any steps in place to help people make smarter food choices? I think we've all been behind someone in line who has a cart full of chips, soda, hot dogs, frozen pizza, and et cetera, who then pays with government script. Michael?
Well, there's definitely one program which I, you know, wished was going on when I was on food stamps in 2007. The New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene actually has something called the Health Bucks program, which is for using food stamps at farmers markets. And so for every $5 you spend, you get $2 in return as tokens that you can then reimburse at that farmers market. So there's a lot of lead-ins, and I think there are multiple programs where people are incentivized to use their food stamps in smart ways. We run farm shares or community-supported agriculture projects, which we subsidize, and we give discounts to people who use their food stamps.
And, of course, it's not script anymore. It's, like everything else, a card. But real quick, what are the rules? There are things you can't buy with food stamps, right? Joel?
Yeah, you can't buy cigarettes, you can't buy booze, you can't, unfortunately, buy Pampers, you can't buy most types of prepared food.
Wait, can you eat Pampers?
You can't eat Pampers.
I didn't know that.
I certainly hope not. But in response to the caller, I think we get that question a lot, and I respectfully suggest the problem isn't people's bad shopping, is that they can't afford the more nutritious foods, and those foods don't exist in their neighborhood. So, yes, we should promote nutrition education, but we've got to make nutritious foods more physically available and more economically affordable in low-income neighborhoods.
Just give people some numbers or web addresses where they can get more information, Michael.
Well, I would say if you're looking to apply for food stamps, you can always call 311, and they can put you in touch with your local community group who can do pre-screenings. Also, the call center for the Food Bank for New York City is 212-894-8060. And the number for the New York City Coalition Against Hunger to learn more about this stuff is 212-825-0028.
Joel, real quick, 20 seconds, is one of the biggest hurdles getting over the stigma that won't allow somebody to even allow themselves to get on food stamps?
Absolutely. New Yorkers are more willing to beg for help from their neighbors than to get help from their rich Uncle Sam, and that is absolutely the reverse of how it should be.
Joel Berg and Michael Paoni from the New York City Coalition Against Hunger. Thank you both very much.
Thanks a lot.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.